An evening of lively, smart conversation and jazz. Join me, John Williams, for a live taping of the Mincing Rascals podcast, Robert's Pizza, and Jazz, Wednesday, June 12th, 6 to 8 at Winter's Jazz Club in Streeterville. Tickets at WGNRadio.com/rascals.
They have been talking about this in Chicago for several years now. We need a new revenue stream to help the homeless. Maybe not a bad idea, right? How do you do it? Who gets it? There's a lot of unanswered questions in that even to this day. But now there is an item on the ballot, a single referendum that you can vote for. Should money when a piece of real estate is transferred from one buyer to one seller, there's a tax that takes place. And should we tax at a higher rate homes or properties over $1 million and $1.5 million, and less for those under $1 million? That's the revenue stream. We asked two people to give us a pro and a con on that. First, the Vice President of Marketing for the Illinois Policy Institute, Austin Berg, joins us once again. Hi, Austin. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
No problem, John.
And Marge Halperin, the journalist and political pundit, who's also a regular on the Mincing Rascals this year. Hi, Marge.
Hi, John and Austin.
What's good about this, Marge? You like this, Marge? Tell me what's positive about this.
The problem of homelessness in our city is hurting everyone. It hurts our economy. It hurts our education system. It hurts the city and all the neighbors, whether you yourself are comfortable in a home or not. And it's time for something pretty aggressive to be done to fix this problem. And that's what Mayor Johnson ran on. That was a key part of his platform. There's more than 68,000 Chicagoans who are unhoused. They live in the streets, shelters, they couch surf. They're trying to find some permanent affordable housing, and the current structure hasn't made that possible. So this tax on the most expensive property sales in the city seems like a smart way to go.
Austin?
It's no doubt that poverty and homelessness is a big problem in our city. I think everybody can agree on that. Where I think people can have really good faith debates is around what are the real solutions to that. And unfortunately, this mayor has refused to say how exactly this money will be spent. So it's really impossible for people to judge if this new tax hike is actually going to solve any of these issues. And that, at the end of the day, his refusal to release a spending plan for this money, I think that's why ultimately a lot of people will vote no, because we've heard political promises like this before. We heard that if we just sell off the parking meters, we can fund the budget. That money was spent in 2 years. We heard if we approve the Illinois lottery, then we can fund more money, put more money into schools. That money goes now entirely to pensions. So unless Chicagoans get these things in writing, politicians will use the money for other things. And in fact, Brandon Johnson's largest campaign backer, the Chicago Teachers Union, is already asking for a cut of this money that we're told is supposed to be going to homelessness. They're asking for more affordable housing for educators, which, let's have that debate, sure. But that is really when people are saying, I want $100 million for homelessness services. They don't think they're voting for that, but there's no protections for them.
Marge, it does seem that this would be an easier pill to take if we knew exactly how the money was going to be spent, what the plan was.
Well, here's what a referendum does. It's required to have a public vote on a tax increase like this. But the job of spending the money is the city council's. These are elected officials who are accountable to us if we use our voice, and the plan will be developed after a public process the mayor has promised. Now, if we don't get that process, then everything that Austin's saying applies. But it doesn't apply to the referendum. The referendum is the mechanism by which the city council will spell out the specifics. And we all should pay very close attention to when that process happens.
Austin, what's your reaction to that?
I think the evidence is very clear on whether this administration is interested in open public processes about anything. If you see this with the migrant crisis, it's impossible to get information out of the mayor's office. You saw it with the budget. The mayor's office has a huge transparency problem, and it has a huge spending problem. We saw this with a ShotSpotter, which we talked about on the podcast a lot. So I don't think Chicagoans should trust this administration or this city council at all with new spending power and new taxing power. One example of this, just look at the amount spent on homelessness services in Chicago over the last decade. It's gone from $21 million a year to, in 2023, over $58 million a year. So spending was up nearly triple over the decade. Yet the number of Chicagoans experiencing homelessness has stayed almost exactly the same, around 6,100 individuals. So it's not about whether we need to tax people more. It's about, is this money being used efficiently? Is it actually going to the people who need it? And I think the evidence is really slim on that.
Marge, is this in a way a referendum on Mayor Johnson?
Well, I suppose it will turn out to be that in some degree, but I think the referendum is what it says. Do we want to tap into those who make the most money, have the most money in our community, in order to help those who have the least? And that's a philosophical direction that is the centerpiece of this mayor's administration. And I think the idea that you can't trust public officials to enact proper legislation, all democracy falls apart if you believe that. But the increase I'd like to address that Austin mentioned, that's a minor increase when you consider what happened in the last decade. You know, you're coming out of the Great Recession. We had the pandemic. Of course, the homelessness situation, we're lucky it hasn't gotten significantly worse, but we want it to be better. We want people to be productive members of our community, to have families that thrive, and to have opportunities to live in safe, comfortable homes.
Marge, let me ask you this, and I'll ask Austin to respond to this too. Marge, you go first. I think everybody's heart would be in the right place, and you're right. Brandon Johnson ran on this. We should be surprised if he doesn't follow through on this. But I wonder, to what degree will this harm real estate in the city? $1 million and $1.5 million is not a ton of money when you're talking about commercial properties or even residential triplexes or something like that, walk-ups in Chicago. Do you worry, Marge, that this is actually going to have a reverse effect, or at least not be the revenue stream you hope it to be?
The estimate seems to be conservative. That's what the mayor says, and I think he's right compared to others. The University of Chicago Harris School did a study a while ago and found that if the tax was in place for the last decade, it would have averaged $160 million a year. And we are estimating, the mayor's estimating $100 million from this. So I think that's conservative. What happens in the market? Sure, the market will respond, but you look at New York City and they have higher transfer taxes. And after several years, took a few years, it went up and down, they've accepted the rate as the cost of doing business. And I think that's what will happen here, too. I'd be interested, though, in having the city council tinker with the idea a little bit. Maybe enterprise zone type areas where the tax should not be raised to encourage development where we need it the most. And some of those kinds of changes could happen, should happen under the city council's process.
Last thought from you, Austin.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to hurt the real estate market. And that's because while proponents of this often say, well, it's just about getting the wealthy to pay their fair share, this is about the rich paying their fair share, it's quadrupling the tax on property sales over $1.5 million. And those are not, overwhelmingly not, mansions that you see like a cartoon Scrooge McDuck in. They are overwhelmingly commercial properties. In fact, we found over 5,000 commercial properties that would see a higher tax under this in Chicago. That includes over 1,100 industrial buildings. It includes 124 shopping centers, 124 supermarkets, 26 theaters, 57 gas stations, and 4 bowling alleys. Those are not mansions. Those are places where people shop, where prices will go up. And overwhelmingly as well, they are multi-unit apartment buildings, meaning that rents will go up. So I think it's really short-sighted or a limited view to say this is, oh, this is just hurting the wealthy. It's going to hurt a lot of Chicagoans.
Okay.
John, it's a one-time tax. If rents go up because of the one-time tax when someone buys one of these supermarkets, then that's price gouging and should not be allowed.
We are out of time. The texts include these. I support 100% the concept of bring Chicago home, but the limit's too low. It should be raised to $2 million. The city council could do that, right? And vote no on this plan. The mayor, I guarantee you, will divert the money somewhere else. pros and cons. Marge and Austin, well done. Thanks for your thoughts today.
Thank you.
That's Marge Halperin, who is a journalist, longtime commentator, and political pundit in the city, and Austin Berg, the vice president of marketing for the Illinois Policy Institute.